We have all.
Yes.
And it's in Christ. Each and every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ is ours. Praise God. That supersedes anything earthly, physical, and therefore temporary. And to hear more about it, we certainly praise God for ministry, for the curriculum that's been set up here, the teaching the Holy Spirit give us through our pastor, and the ministering of the message of the gospel of the grace of God from the mystery. To hear more of it, by heaven's amen decree, our dear living Manon, let's receive him and the gospel of the grace of God with a hearty amen.
Amen.
Praise and peace to the household of faith. Amen.
Thank God for those that are here. Thank God for those that are on their way. Amen. Thank God for just allowing us to come together one more time. Amen. We can say one more time. Amen. The essence of being, there's nothing like being in the essence with Christ. Christ is all in all. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your grace, kindness, and love and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for the gospel, the grace of God. Father, we thank you for the, oh God, ushering in another year for us. Father, we thank you for your people. We ask that you would bless the word of God today. Let Christ be exalted. Oh God, that flesh, everything that's, oh God, let it be, that decrease, let Christ be magnified. Oh God, bring life to your word today. Only the Holy Spirit can bring life to the word of God. Bless your people, Father. Oh God, let Christ be magnified in everything we do. And we'll be mindful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Church, what I would like for you to do, amen. We're going to move right on in the word of God. Amen. I would like for you, for this year, for today, if you could, and only the Holy Spirit can do this, if you could let this word just burn in your spirit, soul, and body, everywhere you go, let it burn in your conscious in terms of the essence of Christ, and that word is different. Amen. The word is different, church, and only the Holy, I pray that the Holy Spirit bring life to our understanding that the word of God is different. The gospel of the grace of God is a different message. Amen. It's a different message. Amen. Because I'm going to read. We're going to go direct into the word of God. Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. Amen. We're going to do some exegesis here. And by the way, you should have the document. Everyone should have the document when you came in. This is a document. Now, you have one page that's printed. Now, the entire document that the Lord blessed our pastor to write was dated August the 3rd, 2014. Najee, I believe, make sure everyone gets one. I hope I had enough printed this morning. Amen. And again, we are going to focus on the word different. Say different, church.
Different.
Amen. I'm going to read. Let's follow. Everyone should have one. If you don't have it, please raise your hand, and Brother Najee will assist you. Amen. We'll begin reading now. The testimony of successfully walking spiritually is directly linked to the perception of the truth as conveyed by the gospel of the grace of God. In order for one to fully possess the benefits that are afforded by God's word, the elect of God must have more than just some sense of the truth, but a deep comprehension or insight into the essence of what it entails in this dispensation. In this dispensation. Now, Deacon Gavin, why don't we just go right to Philippians 1, chapter 1, verse 10. Amen. We're going to call the scripture. Amen, church. And then we're going to further exegete what Deacon Gavin is going to call. Amen. Then we're going to explicate this whole process. And after we do the explication, I'm sitting down. Amen. Okay, Deacon Gavin, you make. Yes, let's do both King James and King, and, oh yeah, by all means, we want to go into the Greek with this, yes. Because the King James, more or less, dilute one word, which we'll just get into, okay.
I'm reading from the book of Philippians, the first chapter and the 10th verse, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ.
Now, church, some of you, I think most of you have the Greek Bible in terms of the Greek text. Now, if you have the King James, you know that word is, they are excellent. And it's okay, but you'll see that this word goes further than excellent. Amen. I mean, being different is excellent, but it really doesn't give you the cogitation of what Paul is saying if you just stay in the King James. And by the way, King James is my favorite translation. Amen. But I'm just saying, if you want to understand, the Bible was written in Greek. So the English language did not exist during the time of Christ. The Greek was the dominant language. So Deacon Gavin, read verse Philippians 1 to 10 in the Interlinear Greek text, please.
Philippians chapter 1, verse 10 from the Interlinear Greek text. For thee to prove you the things differing, in order that ye may be sincere and unoffending in day of Christ.
The things different. Now, Deacon Gavin just read this in the Interlinear Greek text. Now, let's go back in the manuscript. Let's go back in your document, and we're going to do further exegesis of what Deacon Gavin just stated in the scripture. Amen? So let's go back into the document. You see where it says, first paragraph, Philippians 1:10 states, unto the end that you may prove the thing different, that you may be sincere and without offense unto the day of Christ. Note the Greek phrase rendered, unto the end you may prove. Here the thought flows posits in obedience to that which precedeth it, the perception of truth. Thus it is implied as a prerequisite to the fulfillment, amen, of what will automatically follow. Note the Greek infinitive rendered to prove, also rendered to test, try, or examine the validity of something. It must be fully understood that it is spiritually acceptable to test or examine the intent to verify the veracity of the message of grace for this present church age. And reference again, 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Second paragraph. The phrase rendered is different as it consists of an article and a compound word derived from the preposition and the verb, literally denoting to bear or carry through. Some scripture translations, King James, have rendered the expression excellent, but its intransitive meaning is to differ. However, the thought progression is that as things differ, they assail one another. Thus, when something is different, it may also be excellent. See, sometimes, you know, different can be synonymous with excellent. But different is a stronger word, church. But it is established by the Greek grammar that in this verse, Philippians 1:10, as well as other verses in Paul's epistles, the basic meaning and connotation is different, referencing Romans 2:18, 1 Corinthians 15:41, Galatians 2:6. Here it is obvious, referring to the fact that there are different messages in the Word of God, and some excel over others. An overview of the Scripture reveals that through the ages, God communicated to mankind in different ways. The three major dispensations, church, which differ according to their messages, are the Mosaic Law past, grace mystery truth present, and the kingdom future. It is essential for these messages to be arranged according and applied to God's elect for the intended ages, which is the church or kingdom. Last paragraph. It is a fact that the message of the present church age mystery is far superior to the messages of prior and future ages, law, messianic kingdom. The reason believers of this church age are to prove and distinguish after proper examination the things different is clearly stated in order, or that ye may be sincere and without offense unto the day of Christ. Here the Greek word translated sincere conveys varied meanings, pure, uncorrupted, or perfect. The word rendered without offense denotes not to cause stumbling, hence not to be misled into error. The Grace Gospel Church ministry believes and teaches that to the degree that God's elect for the present dispensation of grace abound in perfect knowledge and discernment of the truth for the church, they would be able to prove things different, grace, mystery, truth, as regulated to and in accordance with the grace covenant truth. Amen. Now, church, one thing we must specify, and I mentioned this for those that were not here. You notice in the document that the pastor wrote, if you look at the eternal workings of God, in terms of demarcations in Scripture, there are really seven dispensations, seven demarcations. But embedded in these seven demarcations, there are three primary messages embedded within the seven messages. Time past, but now, ages to come. You must have a clear cogitation of these time periods. If not, you will be confused. One day you think you were lost. One day you say, I'm saved on the way to heaven. The other day, I read over there, if you bless him, you are going to hell. Over there. Church, stay in your gospel. Time passed, we mentioned the books. And I mentioned the fact that, you know, the way our mind works, we can remember things in threes, you know, three, 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 you know. And we made a statement that time passed the law. Those 39 books. And technically, Genesis, through Malachi, but technically, in most of Genesis, you're not in the law because the law really started at Exodus. Amen. When God gave the commandments to Moses. But okay, time passed the law. But now, grace. Ages to come, kingdom. And I guarantee, I don't have Superman vision, but in your Bible, I guarantee you, where you have New Testament, you have all the books grouped together. You have to put time past, but now. But now is those 14 letters written by Paul. And ages to come, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Jews, those kingdom books, church, you need to reference those books in the third column, ages to come. Now when you read, you won't be confused because you'll say, whoa, this is the age to come. So when you read the famous, they call it the faith chapter in Mark 11:23, where they'll say, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, they shall have whatsoever they say. That would not work in this dispensation. In the perfect age, because you would know the mind of God, there would be a peace of reign. You can say at that time, because you would have the mind of Christ, what you say at that time would come to pass. But not now, because number one, you don't know the workings of God in terms of what? His eternal workings. But somebody said, I told the mountain to go, it moved. It did not move because you said it. It moved because it was God's purpose and decree. Amen. Sometimes God may take you in a place in your life where he would not move the mountain. He would give you the grace to go forth to that mountain. But you say, when you read Matthew, those books, amen. It's the word of God. But those kingdom books is what? A future age. Now you understand when Jesus said he laid hands on them, they were all healed. Yes, in that age, when the devil's going to be locked away and what? Healing will be restored to the human race. Yes, you lay hands that you will what? Be healed. And I don't lay hands today, amen. But you better say for Pastor over there, pray, Lord, thy will be done. Amen. Lay hands, that's wonderful. But what? Thy will is done. So in essence, the word of God, the messages are different. Now, what is different about Paul's writings? Paul's epistles. What is different, church? Paul's epistles, the letters written by the Apostle Paul, those 14 epistles, they are embedded in a different language. Paul's epistles is characterized by a different language, which is the language of grace. There is a language of the law, and there is a language of grace, and there is a language of the kingdom. The whole Bible is driven by a language, church, but the languages are different based upon where you're reading. Now, time past, I repeated, the language of the law. But now, the language of grace. Ages to come,
the language of the kingdom. Now, let's take this further. What do we mean by language? In the simplest definition, the word language. There are some English teachers, I believe, in here. Sister Cutler, other English teachers. You know, you talk, we all taught language, we took English well in school. Now, they are, because of the diversity in our country, you know, many places, schools, you're not going to graduate. You won't get a diploma unless you have some knowledge in what? Spanish. The Spanish language. But now, in the definition of language, it's a body of words and the systems of their common use to a people who are of the same community. We are in the community of the body of Christ. So that body is driven by a common language. And that is the language of grace. It's a common methodology of communication. And today's message is what? The message of grace. When God gave Paul the revelation of the mystery, when God, when Paul stayed over there in Philippians 1, he said, I did not go up to Jerusalem, but I went into the desert of Arabia for 3 years. Can you imagine having a Bible class with the Lord Jesus Christ? For 3 years, God taught Paul the message of grace, which was a different language. And the reason that Paul came to preach the gospel of the grace of God, the reason they wanted to kill him, because he was preaching a different language.
I hear you.
A different methodology, something that was never heard before. It was different. Those epistles are different. The whole Bible is the word of God. But you have more you get more information, church, in those 14 epistles, because you look at that, everything is from what? The eternal view. Amen. You see, in the kingdom gospel, those other messages, it's written from a standpoint, if you do this, God do that. Mm-hmm. That's the condition of those covenants.
Right.
But in our gospel, everything is already done. We can rest in Christ.
Yeah.
Why? A different language. See, in the language of the kingdom, you were saved in time. In the language of grace,
mm-hmm.
you were saved in eternity.
That's right.
Different language. Commonwealth of Israel, the language of the kingdom. Body of Christ, the language of grace. Focus on the language of the kingdom, the focus is on physicality. The language of grace, the focus is on spirituality. The language of the kingdom. Heaven is a physical place, which is. Thank God for the New Jerusalem. But we have something better, church. The language of grace, the heaviness is in Christ. In the language of the kingdom, repent and be baptized. The language of grace, for by one spirit you were baptized. The language of the kingdom. The workings of God is in time.
Uh-huh.
The language of grace. The workings of God is in eternity. A different language, church. Now, in the essence, because it's a different language, what we've done, we've taken Matthew through what? Through Revelation, and we make it one language. Embedded in those 27 books, church, there are two covenants. The new covenant and the grace covenant. And if you try to make the new covenant, if you try to make the grace covenant the new, and if you try to make the new grace, you'll be confused.
Amen.
So in essence, the whole Bible, I repeat, is the word of God. But the grace, when you read those 14 epistles, it's like reading of what? Today's newspaper. People shout about the situation that happened in what, France. Amen. And everybody, you know, men of God's people going through, you know, living in France, going through situations. Pray for everyone, right? But see, it shouldn't shock us when we see these crazy things happening, people blowing each other up and all these crazy things. Why? Our gospel and Paul's writing tells us we live in this present evil age. So we should not be shocked about what happens. And somebody say, oh, they're doing some crazy things. What do you expect in this present evil age? But look at the workings of God. The Lord took this present evil age, the worst age of all his workings, and he placed us in the body of Christ in the worst, the most wicked age. He manifested his greater works, the body of Christ. Amen. Now, here's the problem. Another problem. What we do, church, is this. See, you either have a spiritual mind or a physical mind. In terms of what? Now, we know we're all spirit. Body of Christ, we what? We are what? Spirit to spirit. But in terms of, and only the Holy Spirit can do this, men are God's people, saved in eternity, but they are still captivated by what happens on a day-by-day basis. You see, the physical mind, they, it's all focused on how big, it's so easy to focus on how big our problems are. That's the physical mind. Oh, Lord, this problem, I never get through this problem. And there were many of you, those via the internet, those via Africa, the Philippines, other ministers throughout the world, many of you when 2014 hit over a year ago, you said, I'll never make it through 2014. Where are you right now? You made it? Because by God's purpose, you're here? But if you focus on how big the problem is, you would feel like, Lord, I can't make it another day. But the spiritual mind focus on how big Christ is. Now, let's go to Colossians 1:16. Borrow to some Elder Karen here. Amen. 16 for by one, for by one, you know, for by him, in him, yeah. Deacon Gal, yeah, we'll read in Colossians 1:16 now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, King James and Greek. We have time, yes.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, King James Version first. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him.
Okay, now, Deacon, read that in the interlinear Greek, please.
Now, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, from the interlinear Greek text. Because in him were created
in him
all things,
mm-hmm,
in the heavens and on earth, on the earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or lordships or rulers or authorities, all things through him and for him have been created.
Have been. When were they created, church?
In eternity.
In eternity. Notice it says, in the Greek, it says everything is in Christ. But then on the end, the last statement that Deacon Gavin read, where all things were created by him and for him. Everything in existence was created by God via the medium of a saying. And that problem, church, that you have came into existence because God sent it there. And in that problem, if you're looking at that problem, you would think that problem is bigger than God. And that problem is in God. He put it there for a purpose. Not for your purpose, but for his purpose. For him. And if you understand that God sent this to me, but what, Lord, I can't handle it. Wait a minute. He sent it to you for a purpose. And here it says that problem was not really sent to you. When I say sent to you, you were the vessel, but it was really sent to glorify God. It was sent not to destroy you, but it was sent to glorify God. The things that come in our path, church, it just didn't come. It's not like a long range on its own. It's there because God's put it there to glorify himself. And it all begins with salvation. He saved you not to please you, but to please himself. And you were saved in eternity. Not for you, but for him. It goes back to him. Him. So in essence here,
death. God sent death to magnify life. God sent hate to magnify love. God sends fear to magnify faith. God sends despair. We've all been despairing, but that despair that cannot exist on its own. God sends that despair, that sorrow, to magnify peace and security. So we need to look at the ultimate, the vertical view, not the thing that manifests in the matrix, because things that manifest in the matrix is there for a purpose, but everything goes back to glorify God. And what we go through in time, get your eyes off time, church. We know we got to deal with some things, right? That's part of the process. But what God sends your way in time, your way all of his elect, what God sends your way in time is sent there to glorify what he did in eternity. So, what are we going to focus? Are we going to focus on what manifests in the matrix, or is what comes through the via of the same? Now, let's go to the everything is in him. See, that's so easy to say everything's in him. But let me just share something with you. Give me an example here. Everything in him, church. See, here's our problem. We forgot how big for God is. Fascinating. And for the Paul says, keep the remember. Remember. Many times I read the Bible, I said, why did God always say what? Remember. I was down there in the Kenan Gospel the other day, I was reading about the story of Jesus. And I said, wait a minute. You would think that the disciples were all time or something. He said, the Son of Man is going to what? Be crucified. And he's going to be beaten. He's going to go to Jerusalem. And he's going to be raised the third day. And then over there a few books later, the Son of Man is going to go to what? Jerusalem. And he's going to be beaten and crucified. Another script. The Son of Man is going to go. God knows where to pray. So what? He's got this, say things over and over and over and over again. Because what? We repay. We owe it to praise. It's not a time I would remember my teaching career. I would have a date on. We have a test on Thursday. Had a date there, right? I tell the kids put in your manual, and then I had a system to say take this note, send it to your parents, and tell them we're going to have a science test on a solar system this day. Do you know on that day I'm saying okay, ready? What? I ain't know there's a test today. The point is this. Whatever they were trying to say, they had a test, right? But the point, church, is that God is a big God. And sometimes we forget how big God is. Let me share something with you in terms of how big God is. There was, bear with me here. There was recently discovered, some of you may have read this, there were two planets that were recently discovered. And these planets, they use a term, they call them exoplanets. And what happened, they were called Kepler 438b and 442b. And these planets, they are Earth-like in terms of size and dimension. And they were discovered, 438b and 475b. One was 475 light years away, and the planet called 442b, listen, church, 1,100 light years away. Now, that means light traveling at 186,000 miles per second. And I was thinking about this. When you see, let's take our sun, the closest star. Light leaves the sun. 8 minutes later, we see the light. Now, see the way the man works, where the moment I saw it, that's when it happened. No, the light left the sun 8 minutes earlier. Amen. See, that's the human nature. We feel things are not true, or things don't happen until we see it. See, when things we believe in things, the moment we see things, that's when it happened. You know the story of Jesus,
he rose early in the morning. So people, what? Perception. Oh, he rose. Had to be like 6 o'clock, right? No, anytime after 12 the night, he could have risen. So in essence here, the point is this. Light, let's say light left one of those exoplanets. And the reason they call them exoplanets is because they are so far out that they don't need light from the sun. They, if you're looking at distant stars, they get their light from one of their stars, right? So, 1,100 years, now suppose a light left one of these exoplanets that has a light year of 1,100 years. And suppose we're still here. Now, I don't think, only God knows the time, right? But I don't think we could be here another 1,000 years. But suppose a spark of light left one of those stars via the exoplanet 1,100 light years away. That means in the year 3,115, we see that light. Let's say someone's out in the field that they look, there's a light that had a light year of 1,100 years. In the year 3,115, you see the light. You say, oh, the light came just there. The light left the system there 1,100 years ago. And the thing about it is that all of that magnitude, and they're still billions of light years away, and they are still in Christ. Unless you have a gene pool of Einstein or a Stephen Hawking in terms of the mechanics of physics, this is so far that your mind can comprehend that distance. But that distance still cannot fill Christ up. And if you embrace that planet, that light that's what? Still in God. Mm-hmm. It's still in God. It's still controlled by God. And it can't do nothing apart from God.
I hear you. Hallelujah.
So, if God controls that, mm-hmm. which he does, mm-hmm. I'm a little problem, church. I'm a little problem. The little problem. You can put a trillion zeros in front of one and it still be so small. That it is so small compared to the magnitude and the glory of our God. Only so small. It's still, bottom line, your problem is still in Christ. The fact that it's in Christ is controlled by Christ. And every direction God takes that problem, it's going to move according to what? His purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your mind probably tell you, this problem is going to kill you. Well, something you went through 2 years ago, 5 years ago, you say, oh, no. The language of grace tells us to what? Relax. Why? Because we enter into the rest. Enter into the rest. Because it is all done. It is all complete. You don't have to gird nothing up. Build nothing up to know that we are complete in Him. All of the workings of God, the problems, cannot, things we go through, things we shall go through in the future, it's so small compared to how big God is. God is an awesome God. He's a big God. He saved us in eternity. And the fact that he took a depraved creature, manifestation, had no relationship with Christ, and put us in an exalted position of in the heavens in Christ, a part of him. We are a part of Christ. He's the head. We're the body. And we are a part of him. Now, look at it. If you are a part of him, that means he's the head. You're the body. That means if you are destroyed because you're part of him, that means part of Christ is destroyed. You know that can happen. That can happen. So the fact you can't be destroyed because you're in him.
You were in him. If he's the head, he's the body. We are part of him. He's the head, church. He's the body. And because we are in him, everything that's in him is subject to him. Nothing happens on its own. And when you think this way, the fact that you know everything is, that whatever happens has already happened, that looking at life from the vertical view of our position in Christ and what God has done for us in eternity should and will bring peace to our life. But you will not get this information from the other books. Why? Because it's a different language. See, in the language of the other books, let's take the law, for example. Word of God. But let's take a characteristic of the law. I was reading the other day, and people say, well, y'all know, yeah, I read, hey, listen, it's fun, Pastor, I thought about this. It is fun to go there and read what, Deuteronomy, read the Chronicles. But see, now I go there and read with knowledge. I read, first of all, I say, well, Lord, I just thank God for his faithfulness. But you know what? I know it's not for me. Pastor, it's not for me. It's okay to go there to read, go for information. But don't go there for doctrine. Don't go in these other parts of the Bible for doctrine. And that's what a lot of God's people do. They say, well, you know, the Bible says what? Keep the commandments. I'm gonna keep the commandments. Wait a minute. The language of the law is that, yeah, you keep the commandments. But somebody say, why would God give you something that he knew you couldn't keep? Have you thought about that? On one hand, God said, what? Keep those commandments. That's right, those 10 commandments. Go to Exodus chapter 19. Keep those commandments. But God knew that they couldn't do it. Understand, church. You need to understand the condition of the law. You need to differentiate the condition of the law from what? The intent of the law. The condition of the law says what? Keep these commandments or you're dead. The condition, the intent of the law is to give testimony that no man can keep it. Turn from the law, turn to Christ. That is the message of the Messianic gospel. Turn from the law, turn to Christ. See? But the language of the law, is over there you read a lot of those books, says, God says, you have sinned against me, so I will visit, because of your sins, I will visit the iniquities, and I will visit your iniquities. And it's written from the standpoint of, if you mess up, God's going to get you. And many times you read those books, you say, man, God went there and 1,000 people got killed. Whatever, depending upon where you read it. But understand, the language of the law is, do it or you're dead. That's the language of the law. So most, even a lot of preachers do not have that much trouble dealing with the law, because most of them understand that it's what? Time passed. It was for another time period. I'll give you an example. We just came out of, some of y'all enjoy your Thanksgiving, Christmas, and some of y'all now, some of you had some of the, you know, the pork and some of the other foods that according to the law you were not what? Don't eat, right? But let's suppose a young person, manifestation-wise, the Lord showed them that they belonged to him during the time of our Thanksgiving. You know, we have different foods, right? And this person was reading over there in Exodus, Leviticus, where it talks about foods, and they say, what? They just finished eating some pork chops and some what? Ham, and they are fearful. You know what I'm saying? A babe Christian immaturity. So they run to the preacher. They say, Pastor, I read over there in Exodus where it tells me Leviticus, I shouldn't eat this. Most of them say, look, that was not for you. That's for the Old Testament. Amen. Because the books are arranged, church, together, at least so you know that's time past. But the problem that most of God's people have is the kingdom message and the grace message. Because they have most of the books together. Amen. So understand, time passed the law, but now grace, ages to come, kingdom. Different messages for different time periods. And what is so interesting about the languages is an experience that I had a few months ago. Let me just share this with you because it's amazing. When you say focus on the grace message. Why? That's the message for this day. The whole Bible. Amen. But the message for today. Let me share a little example with you in terms of why it's so important to stay in the language of grace. You know what? You miss these languages, you'll be confused. Bottom line. Language of what? Kingdom of grace? You are baptized. A local university, Wayne State here, for those via the internet, there's a local university. What happened, the university, they had a plethora of Brazilian students that they had a special campaign that was a special funding. They had hundreds of Brazilian students that attend Wayne State University now. And so what they did, it was a challenge because they had to learn, the Brazilian students speak Portuguese. So what happened in the month, when they came and they enrolled in school in August, you could see the frustration in their face trying to distinguish, trying to understand English by way of the Portuguese language. In fact, one day I was a student trying to get to the bank, and she didn't know, and she came to me and said, "Doc, what's the bank? The bank." So in essence, she did not know how to take money from the bank. Because what happened in the Portuguese, she was missing the Portuguese language in terms of communicating to go to the bank. So over time, when I realized that she was asking to take money from the bank, there was an ATM machine right to the right, and she didn't understand it because she did not understand the English language. This was in August when they were trying to understand the English language. When they went home for the break in December, you could see the joy on their face. And I was talking to a few of the Portuguese students, the Brazilian students, said, "What happened?" They said, number one, in the curriculum, to understand the English language, we had to just put aside the Portuguese language. We had to focus on English only. And focusing on English only, they did 5 courses, and those 5 courses were different parts of English. In essence, in that curriculum, they stated that we have, for this semester, only English. No Portuguese language. Only English, church. So, in the end, I was talking to a couple of students. I said, "Well, can you give me further explain why were you all so successful in December, but there was so much confusion regarding communication in August?" Their explanation was this: we had to learn to separate the languages. We had to learn to separate the languages. The instructor tells, when you leave this class and when you go to your dorm, you still focus on the English language for this whole semester, nothing but English. And over time, they knew what was English and they knew what was Portuguese. And when they put the line of demarcation, it brought peace and serenity because they knew, over here is Portuguese, over here is what? English. Now, those parents, I guarantee, if they'll be back school for another couple of days, they're not going to be, the parents are not going to call the school and say, "Look, why do y'all have my student just dealing with English language?" No, the school said, "Don't do nothing else." Same thing Paul tells Timothy, "The things that you have learned from me, teach these things and don't teach anything else."
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
A secular university, I'm going to say this in a humble way, but a secular university has more insight on some things than preachers, because they want to miss all the languages. And a statue come out with some kind of clarity. And again, they receive comprehension when they separated the languages. Now, they understand Because they, for a period of time, nothing but what? English. Church, it's okay. Amen. Most of your time still should be what? In Paul's epistles, because that's the message for this day. The message of grace. The language of grace. Via the medium of grace. So, in essence, as I close, I'm going to go back to where we started. Go back to, again, Philippians 1, verse 10. We started with this verse, and we're going to end here. Philippians 1:10. You can go right into the Greek, please.
Again, we're reading from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 10, interlinear Greek text. For thee to prove you the things differing, in order that ye may be sincere and unoffending in day of Christ.
That you may approve things, what? Different. Different. It is a different message. The message of grace is a fact that all things are complete.
That's right. That's right.
The message of grace is that you're not trying to get to heaven.
Right.
You're already in the heavens in Christ. The message of grace is that you're not trying to solve your problem.
Right.
Your problem is already solved. The message of grace is that we can just rest in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because what? Everything is what? Done.
Mm-hmm.
And if everything is done, you can enter into the rest. Because see, in the other books, it's written from the plateau of you have to do this in order for God to do this.
Hallelujah.
But the message of what? Grace is everything is all done. And in fact, I need to clarify this. I know I can go 15 more minutes. I'm close on this because, amen, I'm finished. But I need to clarify. It's kind of funny. My wife, y'all may remember Elder Karen mentioned, I think she used the term, I kicked my nephew out of my house. Let me clarify that because let me give you the whole story. You see, it's kind of funny. It's kind of interesting. And, you know, my nephew, Nathan's a good young man. But see, he just got a degree from Oral Roberts University. And, amen. But you know, laying on the hands, the move of God, you do this, right? So he had a family member that's going through a little test and trial. So we were praying. You know, he was on the house. I'm out of courtesy. I let him pray, you know? And see, I'm saying, hey, Lord, everything is already done. Thank you, Jesus. Everything's already done. And so my nephew, he was trying to build us, laying on hands, you got to build, you just laying on the prayer of faith and everything. I said, Nathan, I love you, nephew, but everything's already done. But see, when I sense that, what I'm saying, I'm looking at, from Paul's writings, everything is done, and he's over there using kingdom scriptures that you have to do this for God to do it. So when I sense the what? Little confusion, I said, nephew, come here. I said, I tell you what, look, we can have a little Bible class later on, but right now this is not working, so I love you, but why don't we just, you know, and so he left in love, but I'm just saying what happens. I'm praying, hey, Lord, it's already done. Thank you, Jesus. And he is trying to work something up, trying to get God to do something. And then he said, but Uncle William, but your way was too easy. I said, what do you mean? See, in other words, he said, Uncle William, but he wanted to have some kind of move of God.
Yeah.
That's the language of that covenant.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The language of grace.
Yeah.
Lord, it's already done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lord, we pray your will is done.
Mm-hmm.
So I had entered Paul to it. Hebrews, and I did mention this. Because he was laying on the hands. I said, look. Paul mentions, amen, lay hands on, amen. I have no problem with that. But if you look at the mature mind, why did Paul tell the Hebrew Christians, let us move on?
Move on.
The essence of Hebrew Christians is, Paul was a Hebrew Christian. You have gotten stuck. They left the law and the kingdom. They didn't move any further from the kingdom. He's saying, it's time to move on. Move on from what? And he mentions what? One account, move on from what? Laying on the hands. Move on, in other words, move on from the kingdom which is laying on the hands and move on to grace in the essence of everything that's already done. So, see what happens? In love, be trying to what? Mesh. Two what? Languages. Won't work. So, the essence of grace is the fact, church, that everything is already done. As we go through 2015, God is not going to show us everything. Why? If He showed us the whole year, it wouldn't be faith. But guarantee that your 2015 is in Christ. And if everything is in Christ, which it is, whatever you go through, family, son, daughter, mother, husband, children, job, whatever's out there in that matrix, that matrix is where? In God. In Christ. And the fact that everything is subject to Christ and nothing can move apart from Christ, we can rest. Enter into the rest. And the medium that causes you to enter to the rest is the gospel of the grace of God, which is the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.